John Emery is a U.S. Army veteran, a bike shop manager, and John was here for training for us for it's a requirement of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and he came and talked to the staff of Northern Community Radio as well as our board of directors, and now joins us in the studio. Thanks for being here, John.
Yep, you're very welcome.
So tell us about the group that you, what are you part of that led you to come speak to us today?
Well, I'm part of the Islamic Resource Group. So our goal in life is we're just a small group of Muslims in this country. We're all Minnesotans. Many of us are immigrants from other countries, but what we want to do is just get out there and dispel some misconceptions about Muslims, about Islam. And our real goal is to speak about Islam directly from Muslims who practice the faith.
Did you grow up Muslim?
No, I did not. I'm actually a native Minnesotan. I've lived here almost my whole life, except for the time I was out of the country for my military service. But other than that, no, I'm native Minnesotan, and I was raised Catholic right here.
I can hear it in your voice.
No kidding. Were you
you're
acting
Minnesotan
there a little bit, or was that real? It sounded like you're
nope.
from up here.
No, nope, that's
got
real.
The hollow O's.
That's when I'm in a good mood. That's it. It comes out.
Well, so why? Why did you convert?
That's a great question. Usually what I like to tell people, the short answer is, this is the path that brings me peace. Islam, the word itself means peace. So this is the path that I follow that I find brings me peace.
Did you need peace?
Yes. Yeah, lots of it, actually. Yeah, I think we all do. And I think we all need to seek that peace, but kind of how we do it might differ from person to person, of course. And I think Islam works for me.
Would you mind helping with words? Because sometimes I don't know if I understand. What's the difference between Islam, Muslim, Arabic?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Islam is a religion that Muslims follow. So just like we have Catholicism, which is the religion that Catholics follow, Islam is the religion, and a Muslim is a person who tries to follow that Islamic path. And then Arabic, a lot of words that we throw around when we're talking about Islam come from Arabic, because that is the language, the official language of the Muslim religion is Arabic. That's the language in which the Quran was revealed.
How about mosque? What does that mean?
Mosque is a place where Muslims get together to pray. So a mosque is just like a church or a synagogue. That's where Muslims get together for congregational prayer.
And you did mention to us that when you go to the mosques and pray, that the men and the women can be separated, or usually are separated.
Yeah, it's traditional for men and women to pray separately. We do pray as a congregation, so the men will be separate from the women, just in the prayer space. So yeah, that's kind of a traditional thing we follow.
And you said that the women, a great percentage of the women like that. Why did they like that?
Well, gosh, you'd have to ask them, I think, to get a good answer. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but yeah, it's kind of, I guess, as an American to walk into a mosque to see that separation of the sexes, it's a little bit jarring. Kind of our tendency is to wonder why. You know, in churches, obviously, we pray together, we worship together as families, you know, man and wife sitting together. But what I've noticed is that when I see these things, you know, it's the women want to pray separately. Some mosques, you'll find a barrier in between the men and the women's prayer spaces. If you ask the Muslim women at the mosque, they actually want it there. They feel more comfortable just being away from the men.
Do you enjoy going around to all these communities and talking?
Oh, yeah, I love it. This is what I love to do. So I do have a day job, but this is kind of my passion. I think we can do a lot more when we understand each other and we can, you know, do things cooperatively.
And you said you really, one of your emphasis is trying to get more to rural areas. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think, you know, where we are in, I'm from the metro area, so in Minneapolis, you know, we've got a lot of neighbors who are from different countries, immigrants, different religions. So we already know each other. We're pretty friendly as, you know, neighborhoods and communities. But, you know, in the more rural communities in greater Minnesota, we don't have a lot of Muslims out here. So a lot of people haven't met a Muslim, so they've got a lot of questions. They might be a little afraid about what Muslims want in this country. So we're just out here to talk to people to let them know that Muslims want the same exact things that everybody else does.
And I'd like to say that I was ignorant, and I'm glad that we were required to have you here, because I learned an awful lot, and it took, what, hour and 10 minutes?
Yeah, about that, yeah. Thanks for listening.
We're talking with John Emery today. He's from the Islamic Resource Group that's out of the Twin Cities. So you talked about mosque and being like a church, but in some ways it isn't like a church. What's the difference between, so you grew up Catholic, so difference between growing up at the Catholic Church and the actual space and when you go there and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, sure. What I found is coming from that Catholic background, American background, is the commonalities really overwhelm the differences. But just like in terms of the space, you know, usually when you go to a mosque, it's going to perform the same role that a church will, in the sense that it's a place for worship, it's a prayer space, but it's also a community center. Oftentimes there's a school attached to it. But when you walk into a mosque, instead of like the pews and the altar, you're going to have just a wide open space for people to pray together in congregation. So I guess the thing is, it's still that peaceful, calm, meditative environment. But instead of the furniture, it's going to be a much simpler space, just with no furniture. So everybody just prays together and sits on the ground when we listen to a sermon.
You're married. Was your wife a Muslim before you married?
No, she was also raised Catholic.
So how did this all work out? Was she in the same boat you were, like wanting to find peace or...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, serendipity. Hopefully, God's hand is at work here somewhere. But yeah, she was kind of in the same space I was. You know, being raised Catholic, we just had a lot of questions about religion, about God that we weren't getting kind of through the Catholic tradition. And we found that those questions we had were answered for us, you know, as part of being Muslim.
You were asked in our meeting, how long did it take you? And you said 10 years. Did it take both of you 10 years?
No, for me, it was a very long process. But no, my wife, it took her a couple of years from, you know, once she was introduced to the religion through some good friends, it was a much more direct path for her than it was for me.
And I found it interesting that you have certain responsibilities as a husband. Tell us about those.
Yeah, I always like to bring this up just because we always talk about women's rights in Islam, but sometimes people forget about a husband's duties. For example, my wife has the right to be supported entirely by me. So all of my money, everything that I earn in my day job is actually technically belongs to her. So everything I earn goes towards her maintenance and to the support of my family. So regardless of whatever she wants to do, she has the right to go to school. She has the right to raise a family. She has the right to work. No matter what she wants, I'm actually required as a Muslim husband to support her in any of her endeavors.
Without discussion?
Well, obviously it's a marriage.
Well, I mean, I know, but we kind of kidded about this in the meeting, but you know, she wants to go to college. Mm-hmm. And you just right away, you're supportive of that?
Absolutely. For me, yes. I helped support her through her last couple of years of college. And that, actually, now she's working. I'm blessed that my wife is making quite a bit more than me.
Nice choice.
thanks. So, but her money, actually, even though she's making a lot more than me, that's all her money. I'm still technically required to support all of her financial needs, even though she has her own job.
It's funny because John's response to this, it's hard for... I have a very positive response to hearing about that, and you're questioning it, and not that you think it's bad, but
no, I don't think it's bad at all.
But it is so different than what I've heard about the role of women. It was completely new to me, this concept. So,
and me.
So actually, a woman is throughout her life is entitled to economic support. So as a daughter or wife or sister or mother, there is some Muslim man who is required to take care of her. Financially, you know, and economically and everything.
But does that mean that she is lesser than a man?
No, not at all. No, I mean, again, she can choose to do it. She can work if she wants to. She has a choice to do whatever she wants. She has the freedom. So she's free from all those choices, you know, whether to work, whether to raise a family. If she wants to raise a family, she's entitled to do so, and she's entitled to the support from her husband.
And you also talked about giving back in your role as a husband and the man in the family. Tell us a little bit more about that, what you give back every year, what you give.
Oh, yeah. So as part of being a Muslim, I am required to actually donate, you know, a percentage of my wealth every year to charity. And this is actually, it's one of the pillars of Islam. So this is something that I actually have to do, just like, you know, tithing for the Catholic Church. But I'm actually required to give 2.5% of my wealth every year to, you know, to charity.
And you said you can be walking down the street and it could be a panhandler and you could give your money to him or her.
Yeah, technically. So in order to fulfill this obligation, that money just has to go to somebody or some people who are poor and needy. So the important thing here is it's not just Muslims. I'm not required to give my money as charity to other Muslims. This can go to anybody in the world as long as they're poor and needy.
So how long have you been a Muslim? I'm sorry.
About 10 years.
So 10 years. You go back 11, 12 years now. Mm-hmm. Is it everything that you wanted it to be?
Yes. Yeah. That's a good question. I haven't had that. But yes, it is. And a lot more, I think.
How often do you pray?
We are required to pray 5 times a day.
How is that different in your life? What does that do for you as a person?
Prayer really is transformative. And that's true of any religion. It's not just Islam. But that prayer, that kind of dialogue we have with God every day, is the whole point is to transform a person, right? That's, you know, God is absolutely loving, absolutely merciful. And through prayer, we can actually transform ourselves and help kind of, you know, emulate that. We can actually demonstrate those divine attributes. We become more merciful. We become more loving towards, you know, people. So yeah, that prayer is really profound for us because it makes us better. It transforms us over time.
Is it easy to pray in the United States, in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, we're really blessed here in this country that we can be religious people, even in a public space here in this country. There's a lot of countries where you can't, right? You know, for example, the French secular model is you cannot demonstrate any religiosity in the public sphere. So for a lot of people there, or even look at Turkey, for example, I've met women from Turkey who are school teachers. And as a school teacher, they could not wear a headscarf, the Muslim hijab, to work. They were completely disallowed from doing that legally. But in this country, we can be religious in the workplace, even in the government sector, right? You know, a Christian can wear a cross, a necklace, that's fine. A Muslim woman can wear a headscarf. And then we can take a little break from work, right? If we have a 15-minute break from work, we can go and we can go quietly pray somewhere, as long as we're not intruding on somebody else. And that's a wonderful thing, because I, as a Muslim, as a minority, have that protection, have that ability to do so. But the wonderful thing is, so does everybody else.
And you, I don't know how to ask this question, but the headscarf, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously it's exposed women to some difficulties, mm-hmm. some fear.
Yeah, and that's kind of a big concern for us. I guess the big concern for Muslims in this country is that it's the women who really bear the brunt of the visibility in public. And it's really the women who receive a lot of the, you know, if there is any hostility in a community, it's the women who tend to receive that simply because they're more visible.
But how many Muslims in Minnesota, would you say?
The last I've heard is about 150,000.
Okay.
So we're still, I think, overall in the country, we're about 1% of the population.
I'm going to go back to another word. What is mm-hmm. Ramadan?
Ramadan is a great, great month. It's one of the months in the Islamic calendar. It's usually about 30 days long, and this is the month in which we Muslims all fast. So the fast for us is a complete fast that we don't drink any water, liquids, or eat any food from dawn until sunset. And this year, it's going to be some very long days because Ramadan is going to be starting at the end of May and going through June over the longest day of the year.
But in the evening, you do get to eat, and
yes.
It's good.
Yes, one of the great benefits of being a Muslim in this country is we do have a large immigrant population. And usually when we break fast together, the food is, you never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be great.
Tell us what kind of food it is.
Oh, well, it could be anything. So the only requirement for Muslims when we eat is that we don't eat any pork and we don't consume any alcohol. However, in this country, we have Muslims from Indonesia, from Somalia, from Egypt, from Morocco, American-born Muslims as well. So you never know what you're going to get. It could be couscous. It could be, I don't know, a million different things, but it's always going to be fantastic.
Anything else you want people to know? Do you want to, you mentioned one of the pillars, we were mm-hmm. talking about that, but what are the pillars?
So the pillars of Islam are, there's five of them. The first one is just being a Muslim, right? Just professing the faith. Let me see, Shahada was, and praying, of course. The second pillar is praying, and then we have paying those alms, fasting that month of Ramadan, and hopefully, once in your lifetime, making the pilgrimage to Mecca.
And that is a requirement?
Yeah, so the five pillars, they're things that we're required to do as Muslims. However, sometimes, like fasting, for example, it can be quite a challenge, right? You know, a 16-hour day, hot in Minnesota, no food, no water. It's hard. So there's lots of exemptions, right? So there's lots of times, for example, like pregnant women shouldn't fast during Ramadan. So when we say it's required, but there's lots of modifications we can make. So when we talk about the requirements, everything we do in Islam should be good for us, right? In principle, everything we do as Muslims should be good for us, and it should be good for our communities. So if we find if the pilgrimage, it's really expensive, it's kind of time consuming, and it's an arduous physical process. So for a lot of people just can't do that. Mm-hmm. So if you can't, you know, if you're not rich enough to put the money aside to make that trip, then you don't actually have to do it. You only have to do it if you're physically and, you know, financially able to do so.
Well, you said this is something that you love to do, go around and talk with folks. So if you are part of a school, an organization, you should check out Islamic Resource Group. They are at irgmn.org, or you can always call KEXE-KBXE for more information on how we can connect you if you want to have someone like John come out to your school or church or civic group or anything that might be out there. I was going to say, thanks so much. Were you always a joyful and optimistic kind of guy?
No.
A lot of the things that you said in there, you'd talk about something and you'd say, it's a ton of fun. You were like, you had such positive words about everything that you were saying to us.
Yeah, to me, religion in general is transformative, right? Being a believing person is really, really optimistic. I mean, it's like, I always tie it back to Martin Luther King, right? I mean, he said that the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. That's a really, really optimistic statement. So I feel that no matter how tough things get, no matter how challenging life is, the challenges we face, I'm always, always optimistic because I know in my heart as a believer that, that arc of justice, it always gets better. And life always gets better as a believer. So it's changed me a lot. I wasn't always this optimistic, but like I said, it's, the prayer, the practice is what makes us, as a community of believers, better people.
What impressed me more than your optimism was you were asked a couple difficult questions. I don't know if they were difficult questions, but you said that doesn't concern me. I mean, you were able to put something aside and just say it does.
Politics, when we asked about politics.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. And it doesn't concern me, and I'm not going to invest my time into worrying about that. That's my words. But I just like the way you were able to just deflect it.
Yes. We can talk all day, and I mean, lots of people do about politics, but fundamentally, I think that we're people, and we're neighbors, and we're community members, and I think we can just do so much more together as people than worrying about politics. You know, the one thing we really try to communicate to people is that there's a lot of ignorance in this country, and I think because of that, there's a lot of fear about just Muslims, right? There's a lot of immigrant Muslims in this country. And the one thing that I would really like to speak to people about is that as a veteran, as a person, as a soldier who swore that oath to defend the Constitution of the United States, Islam is completely compatible and, in fact, complementary to those values that are expressed in the preamble of the Constitution. You know, when we talk about liberty, about common defense, about the general welfare, these are exactly the goals of Islam.
That's John Emery, who visited KAXE KBXE recently for cultural diversity training, teaching us what it's like to be Muslim in Minnesota. You can find out information how you can ask for a speaker to come to your organization. Go to IslamicResourceGroup.org. This is The Morning Show on Northern Community Radio.